Hello and welcome to F1 Nation for our review of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. It was one of the most eagerly anticipated races of the season, and with high speed, high stakes and high drama, 50 laps of racing around the streets of Vegas did not disappoint. The lead of the race changed five times.
Sergio Perez to the apex first! Sergio Perez to the lead of the Grand Prix!
We had another last lap fight to the finish line.
Charles Leclerc's going for it to the inside! Has he got the car slowed down? What a move, Charles Leclerc! Absolutely brilliant!
Ah! I wanted that win so bad.
But despite two safety cars and a 5-second penalty, there was only going to be one winner in Vegas.
Max Verstappen puts his name up in lights once again. It's 18 Grand Prix victories for the season for Max Verstappen, who wins the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Viva Las Vegas!
What an incredible night of racing for us to discuss here on F1 Nation. Joining me, Tom Clarkson, from the heart of the Vegas paddock are Damon Hill and Natalie Pinkham. But first, let's hear from the top three after that scintillating battle for the victory.
Max, very well done. What a race. Drama from start to finish. And given everything you had thrown at you today, how did you find a way to win?
That's a very good question. I just kept on going. It was a bit hectic. Of course, you know, in the beginning, 5-second penalty. And then when we stopped because of the deck, we're not very good on the medium somehow. I got a bit into traffic and I had to be patient going through that traffic ahead of me. And we were on a good track. Then, of course, I had my little get-together with George. I think he didn't see me and then damaged, of course, my front wing. But luckily, the structure was still in place. So that was, of course, very important. And then, of course, the safety car came. So we pitted again for the second set of hard tires. And then it was very fun. Of course, I had a McLaren and an Alpine in between Checo and Charles. But once I cleared them, I could join the fight. And it was basically flat out to the end. And that was really cool.
Can we just go through it in chronological order, starting with the start and what happened at turn one? What was your take on what happened there and what was your reaction to the 5-second penalty?
Well, the start was good, but then, we both, we brake quite late to defend the position, but that was a bit on the inside, on the dirt, I guess. As soon as you're a bit offline here, it's just super low grip, and that's what happened. I braked and there was no grip. I didn't mean to push Charles off the track, but I couldn't slow it down. I kept sliding on four wheels wide, so that's why we had to go wide. At the time, you're also full of adrenaline, and I was not happy with the decision, but looking back at it, it was probably the right call. And with that 5-second, it was definitely a bit harder to come back to the front.
Tell us a little bit about the circuit. Why do you think it provided such good racing today?
I think low deg on the hard tire, a lot of slipstreaming, of course, with the long straights. And probably a bit of a headwind maybe on the straight as well. The low-speed corners, I think when you're following, you don't really lose that much time because they are that slow, the corners. And then, there is a lot of draft around the track. So that made, I think, the racing much better. The three of us, we all led. So, it was a good race.
So, Charles, coming to you, what are your emotions right now? Is it elation after that move on Checo on the final lap? Or is it frustration after being so close to the win?
Oh, mixed emotions. On one hand, I'm extremely happy with today's performance. I think we didn't leave anything on the table, and until the very last lap of the last corner of the last lap, I gave it all and managed to get that second place. On the other hand, obviously disappointed because I really believe that without the safety car, the win was ours because we had done a really good first stint on the medium. And I think, we had five laps newer hard than Max. I had a good 4-5 laps in order to bring them into temperature. And we had done a really good job on that. So I was really confident that the win was ours. Then there was unfortunately the safety car. Max and Checo stopped and I stayed on my 5 laps used hard, which is not too much 5 laps. But the problem is that then when you cool them down during the safety car, to restart a used tire is is incredibly difficult with those temperatures. And there we lost the race. But I loved the racing. I did not expect to have that much fun in the race because in FP2 I was following, I think, George, and I really struggled to overtake him. Then we went down on the downforce, and today was much better. I had a lot more fun. So it was a really exciting race, and I'm pretty sure it was a really good one to watch. So I'll make sure I watch that race back.
Checo, coming to you now. Very well done to you as well. Your 9th podium of the year. This one sealing P2 in the Drivers' Championship. Given your dramas on lap one, how pleased are you with how it turned out?
Yeah, looking fully back on my race, you know, with so much damage. At that point on, it was all about recovering, trying to get Lewis first because it was the target to seal second in the championship today. But the pace on that hard was tremendous, and that really brought me back on the race. I was just overtaking cars every lap, and we were really, really strong. Once the safety car came out, that really put us in contention for the victory. I went through Charles relatively easy, but then I just couldn't pull away from him. And unfortunately, I think we were just carrying a little bit too much rear wing on my car, and my top speed was quite a bit down. So once I was on the lead, I just couldn't pull away from Charles, and it was really not nice to lose the place to Charles there in the end. He got me back from Turkey 2020, and is where it is.
And Checo, what does this P2 in the Drivers' Championship mean to you?
Well, I think it just makes me look back at the whole season. You know, it's been a really challenging year. It started really well, fighting for the championship, but then, you know, we had such a dominant car that I just couldn't set it up properly. It was just getting out of my hands. The confidence was going down. So just to come back and really pull together a strong result, and later in the year, I think to constantly be fighting at the top, I think that really is the highlight of my year.
Guys, what a phenomenal inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix.
It was mega. I mean, let's be honest. Formula One has conquered Las Vegas. So the question really was, looking at the circuit, and it's maybe partly because it's got a new surface, it's been newly tarmacked, and it's quite shiny, and it's cold, and that's like a wet race. Less grip puts a premium on driver skill, and also makes it less predictable. So we saw some great overtakes, and you could see how slippery it was. You could see how the cars were struggling to get key to the surface, and that made for great racing.
Let's take it in chronological order, right? So Max Verstappen wins the Grand Prix. After turn one, I felt he was immediately in trouble because, yes, okay, he overcooked it and pushed Charles Leclerc wide, but he couldn't drop Charles.
No, that was interesting, wasn't it? Actually, he couldn't drop him, but he did do, I mean, he got a 5-second, you know, stop-go penalty, so then he recovered from that. But normally what they contend with is overworking the tyre. But in some ways, you need to work the tyre, and they just couldn't work the tyre to get the temperature into it. They were worried about graining the tyre. So I think it was more of a level playing field, and it opened up the opportunities, a bit like a wet race does, to drivers with talent, drivers with you know, with a little bit more skill. They could work that, and a car advantage is not necessarily as big an advantage in a wet race. The cars had to take off a lot of wing. They had to be quick on the straights. And what were they doing down the boulevard, 220 miles an hour? With a tow, they're probably getting close to 220, 225, I don't know. So it was spectacular to watch.
In that first stint, the Ferrari was the better car. Charles Leclerc was able to extend the medium tyre longer than Max, who said after the race, yes, he felt he was in trouble. He was suffering from more graining than Charles. He then had that 5-second penalty. So he came out of the pits, I think, 28 seconds behind Leclerc. And at that point, Leclerc was sitting pretty. And I think that is why he's gutted that he didn't win this Grand Prix.
But he couldn't, because the accident happened and the safety car came out, and he was compromised by the timing of that. Otherwise, he would have come in and got a new set of tyres.
I still can't quite get my head around why he lost this Grand Prix, because he was so fast in that first.
And also, he was closing right up to the very last lap. He managed to get back second place from Checo. Could he have caught Max? Actually, I think, you know, give him another 4 or 5 laps, I think he possibly could have done.
I don't think you should underestimate the impact of the start on Charles. In terms of his morale, and, you know, he was on pole. He should have pulled away. I asked Max before the race whether having that inside line down to turn one was going to be a significant advantage. He was like, no, absolutely not. I'm on the dirty side. It's a very short run down from the front row to the first braking zone. And I really think Charles expected to be in the lead at the start. And when he wasn't, and then when he didn't get the place back, and then when he was only given a 5-second penalty,
What did you think of the penalty, Paints?
Well, I mean, I said to you, didn't I, Damon, why don't they just make him give the place back?
Yeah, and I don't know the rules well enough to know. No, but
Charles said the same in the pen to me afterwards. He said, that's where the FIA really should just give the place back.
There's something about the first lap, isn't there, where they had a discussion about what they let go and what they will allow for on the first lap. So if he'd done that on another lap, it might have been that they would have said, listen, you have to give the place back because you gained that position.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there actually a lot of drivers made mistakes at turn one.
Well, cleverer than you look.
Fernando Alonso spun on his own, ruined Valtteri Bottas's race. He didn't get a penalty. All Max Verstappen did was push Charles wide. So I think 5 seconds was probably a fair...
And even Charles said that. Even Charles said, look, the 5-second thing actually was a fair penalty, but he also wondered why he wasn't given the place back.
It was aggressive and actually a bit naughty, really. And
Max's defence, he said again to me in
stop.
The pen.
That's
yeah.
where
he said he couldn't.
A bit like Fernando Alonso.
He
couldn't stop.
No grip.
Once you get on the inside, there was no way they could stop.
Exactly what he said. Yeah.
What do we think of the second Red Bull driver today? For Checo, he sealed P2 in the Drivers' Championship, which is great. Actually, a drive like today, I thought he deserved that. He was a bit down. I don't know how he was with you in the pen, but in the press conference, he was a bit down, I felt.
Well, he's going to be a bit down because he thought he was on for a 1-2 in the race. But I think once he steps away from this weekend and recognises he came back from a difficult qualifying, P11 up to the podium, it's a great achievement. He secured 1-2 in the championship. I don't care what anyone says. They say, oh, it wasn't a contractual obligation on his part. That mattered to him a huge amount. And when Lewis looked like he was on the charge to take it from him, he was worried, you know, he was worried for his future. But I think today was a real marker in the sand for him in terms of performance, and he was able to keep it up there. I mean, that fight also with Fernando last time out in Brazil was brilliant to watch. But ultimately, even though it was only by 53 thousandths of a second.
In Interlagos, yeah. And it was 1/10, I think, today, wasn't it?
He still lost it. Didn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't on the podium. He should have come out on top there.
Yeah.
So today was really important for him.
And let's not forget, he was at the back after lap one. He got
he
caught up in the melee,
absolutely.
The Alonso melee at turn one.
And he was almost dead last, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he fought his way through. He drove a controlled race. I think sometimes in the past he's misjudged some of his overtakes, but it was all clean. Where does Checo go from here? I felt he drove with so much confidence. And I think, let's not forget that this Vegas track is what I would call a Checo track, right? Short radius corners.
You say that, it absolutely is. But that massive variable for him was the temperature. So much colder. Because I talked to him about this in the pen and said, you know, it's the street circuit. You absolutely excel at street circuits. When you factor in the temperature, it throws a lot of the other things that you can bank on as a street circuit specialist out the window.
But I also think there are street circuits and street circuits. And this, with the short radius corners, is even more of a Checo track. So I get your point about the slippery, cold temperatures. But if anyone's going to deal with them well, it's going to be Checo.
He was bothered by the long straights, actually. He said he was struggling on the long straights compared to the Ferrari. We haven't heard that before all season, have we?
No, he went for a higher wing setting, apparently. Yeah.
But that's why he couldn't get away from Charles in the race, because he had too much drag, really. But huge confidence booster for him. He's got P2 in the championship. And while Charles Leclerc is disappointed not to have won this Grand Prix, I think this is a huge confidence boost for him as well.
Yeah. There are obviously some things that have been settled, the Red Bull situation, but Ferrari and Mercedes is getting very, very touchy and tense.
It is just 4 points between Mercedes and Ferrari fighting over P2 in the Constructors' Championship. And on the strength of what we've seen here this weekend, okay, Mercedes still have P2, but I think your money would be on Ferrari getting P2 in Abu Dhabi next weekend.
Well, that segues beautifully because Marc Genet joins us now and he can tell us just that. How confident are you guys now with this car after this weekend? I mean, I know a lot of things went against you, but the performance was really there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why we feel so... I just spoke to Charles now and we feel so upset, you know. We didn't win it, we did everything right. I think the Carlos problem also played its part in not helping, and the safety car for sure was just horrible for us. But we're improving lately. But this track in particular was good for us, you know. So I don't think that such performance will repeat itself. But having said that, we do feel that we are getting the best out of the car, especially this last part of the season. And so the team is working well, yes.
I just feel that Charles really deserves a win in 2023.
And he did. You could say or he's been unlucky today or Max has been lucky. Because even you look at the impact between Max and Russell, you know, and his car was not damaged, you know. I mean, for Max, everything was perfect. But he knows he did a great race. And then the last overtaking on Perez, that made put him a smile on his face. So it's true. I know that the numbers, when you see 23 pole positions, 5 wins, but really it's not down to him, you know. He's had a car that is good in qualifying and not so much so good in the race. And today, luck was not on his side.
So just 4 points between you and Mercedes now in the Constructors' Championship. 1 race to go. How's Abu Dhabi going to play out? Do you think it'll favour you or Mercedes?
Yeah, it's more the momentum we have. Also, Carlos is 4th place, you know. He's never finished higher up than 5th, and he's equal point with Alonso. And I can tell you, in Spain, we're looking at that.
That's quite, needle, yeah, isn't it?
I know they'll say Carlos and Fernando, no, you know, but I can assure you that they both are looking at that. I think we have this momentum. I think the track will not favour Ferrari or Mercedes. That's my feeling, because they did very well in the past, Mercedes in Abu Dhabi. But we have this momentum. So I think it's pretty evenly matched. It's going to be quite interesting, yes.
It's going to be the talking point, isn't it, next weekend?
Well, Abu Dhabi is very similar in many ways to this circuit. Low downforce, lots of slow 90-degree corners and so forth. But there are a few more corners. Abu Dhabi is a little bit more tricky than this one, I think. But... what do you think, Mark? Do you think Abu Dhabi suits Ferrari more than Mercedes?
Well, one of the reasons why we were so strong here is that our low downforce package is so optimized. We have a very good package, you know. Not so much that the car is good in low downforce. The low downforce package is very good. We saw that in Monza. And we're not going to use that package, you know, in Abu Dhabi. We're going to go to the package that we know it's not so good than others. Yes, these wings we cannot use in Abu Dhabi. It's going to be different ones. And we know that one works perfect. Fred Vasseur has been talking about this second place for a long time. You know, okay, second place, Enzo Ferrari would say, you know, only winning counts. But honestly, second place, look last year how much we fought even for second place for Charles against Checo, you know. Second place, when there's someone so dominant, whoever is second means you've done a good job.
Mark, thank you very much for your time. Well done to you and the team here, and I'll see you in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, see you in Abu Dhabi, sure. Thanks, Tom.
In all this praise of Ferrari, it's very easy to think what an awful weekend Mercedes have had because, you know, let's face it, Hamilton was their top finisher.
Went from 10th to 7th. Hang on a minute,
and Russell
though.
Comes in an 8th.
Yes,
but
he finished 4th on the track, George, and I thought that was really impressive. And I thought it was a real shame that he got that penalty because what it meant was that he tumbled down the order because the grid was so tight at the top. Went right the way down to 8th. Fact is, he owned the issue with Verstappen. He didn't see him. And I thought that was a shame because I felt like he deserved and the team deserved so much more. Talked to him afterwards and we reminded each other he's had one podium all year.
Yeah, isn't it mad? Pinks, you're actually saying exactly what I was hoping you were going to say, which is, yes, Ferrari have had a very strong result, very strong weekend, but actually Mercedes haven't been bad. You know, George Russell qualifies 4th and then starts 3rd, obviously, with Sainz's penalty. And drives a really good race until the penalty at the end. So Mercedes are strong. Yes, Marc Genet is talking about the importance of momentum and there's nothing between them. George Russell, I felt, was the team leader at Mercedes this weekend. You know, Hamilton knocked out in Q2. George very much leading the direction on setup, drives that brilliant race apart from this moment with Max Verstappen. I felt it was the George that we saw come back from the summer break in Zandvoort, in Monza, where he was the dominant driver. And I think he has every right to feel very satisfied with his weekend despite the frustrating end result. And here's James Allison, technical director of Mercedes. James, it's been a phenomenal weekend. for George Russell, okay, I know the five-second penalty saw him skittle down the order, but I felt like he was team leader when it came to the drivers this weekend. How was it inside the team?
I don't think it really felt like that, but, you know, George definitely got it all together on, I want to say the Saturday, but
earlier in the weekend.
Where was that? Yeah. Seriously.
In the FP3 qualifying period, he definitely got himself in good shape because Lewis had perhaps looked slightly the stronger of the two the day before. And, left Lewis definitely ruining his performance in quali. But I think we were pretty sure that both would have strong races, just obviously Lewis from a more lowly grid slot. Didn't quite anticipate the subsequent melee.
Was there a sense of relief inside the team after everything that had happened at Interlagos that you came here with a competitive car?
Yes, but not surprised, because I think Interlagos was very much the outlier. And, you know, if you look at our car over the last quite large handful of races, it's been pretty okay. And Interlagos was the very, very surprising outlier, a bit like McLaren's Las Vegas. You know, they've just had our Brazil. But yes, it was reassuring that Brazil was an outlier and not the norm.
And when you consider the chaos at the start and then the puncher that Lewis had after contact with Piastri, to salvage seventh, I mean, it actually went up three spots. So to finish seventh for Lewis, considering where he was, that must also be a boost.
Well, it might feel that way in about 2 or 3 days, but right now it's more lamenting the fact that the car was pretty pacey and a P7, P8 is considerably less than we might have expected to take back with us.
When we heard Toto say on the radio, you know, to go for fourth for George, we were like, really? But ultimately, on track, he did finish fourth.
Yeah.
And it seemed quite unfair in a way that he went down the order to eighth, because that 5 seconds actually was very costly.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think it was unfair. He was predominantly responsible for the tangling with Max.
I just think the impact of that 5 seconds, though,
yeah,
was,
I mean,
almost...
That's what happens when things are relatively
so
near
tight.
The end of the race,
yeah, yeah.
And you don't have a chance then to stretch your legs. Yeah. And when we were chatting together as a team after the race, George was definitely looking to himself for that. What he was definitely surprised by was... For him, it didn't make sense for Max to make the play at that corner, because George would have probably had him on the DRS on the following straight. I think George was taking on the chin the fact that he should have been more aware of Max being there.
So, James, all eyes on Abu Dhabi next weekend.
Yeah.
4 points between you and Ferrari. You're the ones in front.
Yeah.
You've got a good record in Abu. How much confidence does that give you going in?
I think the record doesn't count for too much, because, you know, new year, new cars, new competitive order, all that. If there's one good thing to come from today's rather rumbustious race, is that I think both our drivers are absolutely resolute in their desire to go and show what they and the car can do in Abu. So with a bit of luck, it'll be a nice fair fight to the finish, and hopefully we'll get the job done.
Do you believe in luck?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, in terms of performances between teams and also relative performances between drivers within teams, it's so easy to get it wrong, or what is going on?
And the track specifics as well.
Well, it's a very finicky formula. The tyres are fussy. You have to get the car very near the ground, and too low and you get what happened to us in Austin, too high and you get what happened to us in Brazil. So it's very, very easy to lose a competitive edge, and that's what you're seeing track to track, car to car.
Good luck in Abu.
Thank you very much.
These two are side by side, but not for much longer. The two teammates battling it out, and Esteban Ocon deep into turn one. Esteban Ocon going all in Vegas.
Oh, guys. Yes. That's some serious healing power there for Sunday.
Esteban, the smile, I feel, says a lot. My God, I feel he really needed that result.
Yeah, I think it's I'm you know, feeling alive again. Let's call it like that. It's been a tough 6 races, I would say. You know, a lot of things went wrong for us. A lot of incidents and a lot of points left on the table, you know, with DNF and all sorts of things. Since Singapore, really, we didn't seem to catch a break. And, you know, yesterday was a difficult moment to swallow, because we knew we had the pace to do something good and something more on top is coming. But yeah, never give up, really. That's probably the sentence of these last couple of weeks. We kept believing in our work and what we were doing, believing it's the right thing that we were doing and that things were going to come to us. And the planets did align today. And finally, we got the result that we deserve.
The planets aligned. But I mean, what was the key for you to make so much progress so quickly?
I think we've done a really, really good job on tyres this weekend. You know, as a team, we would have had, you know, a very, very strong qualifying on yesterday. And we understood quite early in FP2 how to keep these front tyres alive. And I basically finished the race with new tyres still, compared to people having big deg, you know. So it was a big difference.
As I'm talking to you, loads of the mechanics are walking past. Everyone's sort of giving you a slap on the back. This means a lot to you, but it also means a lot to the team, doesn't it?
It means a lot to the team because it's our best result since a long, long time. You know, the guys here have been working flat out to try and get, you know, quicker cars since Monza, because it's similar characteristic. And, you know, back at the factory, you know, bringing different downforce level, bringing, you know, a lot of different things since Monza has made the difference. So, yeah, it means the whole world to them. And, yeah, it was definitely a good day.
They really played down any chance of any kind of result here. They were like, we're not going to perform particularly well, but that's okay. We're in Vegas. We take it as it comes. Then suddenly, Gasly has this particularly great performance in quali. Esteban has a terrible time in quali. Pierre's like, hello, I'm on here. Could I even dream of a podium? And then suddenly he gets some sort of weird battery problem that he's battling with and just falls down the order and out of the points. I mean, it was really frustrating for him. Conversely, his teammate shot up from 16th to 4th.
Yeah, he was on fire.
And was buzzing.
Yeah. The last time we ran these Monza wings, both Alpines were out in Q1 at Monza. They then stayed after that race for a Pirelli tyre test. And I think they found something at that test. I've no idea what it is. It's well known that they have the least powerful power unit on the grid. So then, you know, they're lacking straight line speed, and yet they found a balance or something that is making them competitive on this kind of track.
It's interesting because Pierre just said he found a rhythm in quali that he wasn't expecting. It was kind of like he was in a groove. Everything was working for him. And sometimes you can't explain these things. Sometimes it just works, doesn't it? And it did in quali. I felt for him that he wasn't able to convert that in the race. But brilliant for Ocon. I mean, they're all just looking for strong results to finish the year on, aren't they?
Ocon has had a lot of bad luck this year as well.
6 DNFs, more than any other driver. He really does deserve more. And so today was a good day for him.
Yep. He proved today that he's a great racing driver as well.
It's so easy to overlook the drivers who are battling out in the midfield, you know. And I was trying to think, if he was a driver who was at the front, how would I think of him? My conclusion was, everyone in F1 is driving to the maximum, and they sometimes don't get any recognition for it because they're not the people on the podium. And we have just done the right thing by applauding Esteban Ocon for his performance, and also Pierre Gasly, who did a good job. But you were talking about the Alpine team. That just confirms what I said before, which is what James Allison was just saying, is that it's a fickle old formula. It is really difficult to get these things in the sweet spot. And all you need to do is change a racetrack and suddenly you're nowhere near where you thought you should be, and you're battling in the midfield.
But
again,
I am really encouraged by Alpine, funnily enough, since the summer break, because, of course, they made the management changes immediately prior to it, just after the Belgian Grand Prix. And yet since then, they seem to have found a little bit of consistency with the car. Pierre Gasly has gone from strength to strength. He's been really impressive at pretty much every race. Ocon's had his reliability issues, but when he's been allowed to shine, he has. Yes, there's nothing Alpine can do about the Constructors' Championship. They are marooned in P6, more than 100 points behind Aston Martin and nearly 100 points ahead of Williams. So they are going to finish sixth. But I feel that, you know, they talk about momentum, don't they, going into the winter. I think Alpine have got that. They've got same drivers staying for next year as well. They can build from here. Well, I'm now with Tom McCulloch, engineering boss at Aston Martin. And I think from the smile on your face, today's been a good day. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, overall, it's good to score some solid points. Both cars in the points. Good pace. You know, Lance had a fantastic race. Fernando has struggled a little bit more in traffic. But yeah, overall a good day, and we've scored some good points relative to McLaren. I'm still behind them, but yeah, good day.
Let's talk about Lance's race. I mean, he went from 19th to 5th. What was the key for him to do that?
I think the key really was saving the two sets of hard tyres before the weekend really started, anticipating that you would need them, a good chance you'd need them in the race. From the first lap, he actually went from 19th to 9th with all the melee. He had a good, strong first lap with a soft tyre. And then, you know, when we got the safety car, it was a matter of, well, the fastest race for us from there was two sets of hard tyres. So that did cycle us to the back of the grid nearly, four or five cars behind. But from there, just really strong, solid pace, two sets of hard tyres, and yeah, that's what made his P5 today.
Is it a case of what if with Fernando? I mean, what if he hadn't spun at turn one?
The woulda, coulda, shoulda is always there for everyone, isn't it?
How good was the pace of the car, though? Could he have raced with the guys around him?
Yeah, it's always hard when you know, if you look at the difference between Charles and Carlos today, free air to traffic, it's a different world. And that's the same for all of us. So, yes, if he could have had a good first lap and strong first stint and, you know, made the one stop work, which at that point was the plan, he could have had a strong day, but a lot of people can say that today.
And just 11 points behind McLaren in the Constructors' Championship. I mean, it's not over until it's over. What are you feeling about Abu Dhabi?
Well, we've definitely been a bit stronger these last few races. I do think Abu Dhabi will suit McLaren much more than, say, it did here. They were actually quite strong today in the race once they settled down with Oscar. So, yeah, it will be tough for us. I think they're slightly quicker than us still. But as you say, it is never over until that flag drops the very last lap in Abu Dhabi. We'll just be trying our best to put our cars as far up as possible. And we can't really control them, but we'll see how it goes.
Thanks, Tom. Lance Stroll finishes P5 for the second race in a row. He was really impressive.
The right decision to start on the softs. He also did very well to stay out of the chaos at the start. He made up 10 places on the first lap. And you could tell by his face how relieved he was to get another strong result here. It's been a horrible time of late, but he's strung a couple of good weekends together. And he needed it.
So he was really strong at the start of the year when the car was good. Then when the car went off the boil mid-season, Alonso was able to drag some results out of it, and I felt Lance struggled. They've now found how they want to run that car with these upgrades, and the performance is coming back. And we're seeing Lance now showing the world what he can do. And he looked, I thought, very convincing compared to Alonso this weekend. Actually, it was Alonso who made the mistake in the race, not Lance. So good on him. But also, it was a strong result for the team. Lance Stroll comes home in 5th. Alonso was still 9th. Double points finish for the team.
They got lost in the middle and they're starting to push again. Maybe they'll do something in Abu Dhabi, but they're not contenders, regular contenders for the podium, which is, I think, what they're aiming for. We've still yet to see the full potential of their investment in their factory and their wind tunnel and blah. So maybe next year's car will be an absolutely amazing competitive car. They started off well, as I said, this start of the season, but then they hadn't got into their new factory yet.
And while all eyes are on the battle for P2 in the Constructors' Championship between Mercedes and Ferrari, it's not completely lost, the battle for P4. Aston now just 11 points behind McLaren with one race to go. If they can have another strong result and McLaren have a difficult one, although I think McLaren think they're going to be much, much better in Abu Dhabi than they were here.
I think we should give a shout out to Oscar Piastri as well. A contender for driver of the day. Came back from a very difficult quali to get it into the points. Wasn't easy. Obviously also had that contact with Lewis. A near miss with his own teammate. I mean, that could have been horrible to take both cars out. So fair play to him. And yeah, you're right. It's a tight fight, isn't it? Between them and Aston Martin.
So the top 10 looked like this. Max Verstappen took win number 18 of the season. Charles Leclerc was second, his 5th podium of this 2023 season. And Sergio Perez took third to seal P2 in the Drivers' Championship. Then came Esteban Ocon in 4th, up from P16 on the grid. Lance Stroll was 5th for Aston Martin. Carlos Sainz was 6th. Lewis Hamilton 7th. George Russell 8th after serving his 5-second penalty. Fernando Alonso was 9th and Oscar Piastri 10th. In the Drivers' Championship, Max Verstappen extended his tally to 549 points. Sergio Perez has sealed P2 with 273 points, and Lewis Hamilton locked away third place with 232 points. There's an all-Spanish tussle for P4 with Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso both on 200 points. Lando Norris is just 5 points behind them in sixth, and Charles Leclerc just 7 points further back in seventh. George Russell is eighth, Oscar Piastri ninth, and Lance Stroll rounds out the top 10 in 10th. Red Bull now has a total of 822 points, 430 points ahead of the field, but it's close behind. Mercedes is second, just 4 points ahead of Ferrari in third. There is then a 104-point gap to McLaren in fourth, with Aston Martin just 11 points further back in fifth. Alpine are alone in sixth on 120 points, and then it gets close again. Williams are seventh on 28, AlphaTauri eighth on 21, Alfa Romeo ninth on 16, and Haas 10th on 12. Guys, it's the end of the Las Vegas Grand Prix weekend. What are your conclusions about everything that we've experienced over the last 48 hours, 72 hours, however long we've been here?
I'm going to sum it up with two S's. Sensationally surreal. I mean, it's just been a kind of weird, wonderful, discombobulated, brilliant few days.
Yeah. You're bemused and bedazzled at the same time.
Oh, I love
in
it,
Vegas.
Yeah. All the bees.
And
did you lose money in the casino?
I never bet a single thing.
Didn't you?
No. What a boring person.
Still time, mate. Yeah. Still time. Let's go.
But isn't it phenomenal? We're just sat here in the paddock. We're looking at this huge building that is the pit building here. It's three stories high. It's the, what is it? The
it's
length
like
of, is it the length? It does, doesn't it? It looks like a cruise ship. It's the length of three American football fields, is it? I mean, what they've done in the space of 18 months.
No, it's not 18 months. It's since 1982.
I guess we need our driver of the day. Pink's
Banks
got
to
her
go
hand
first.
Up. Okay.
Charles.
You always get in there first, so then we
I know,
feel we can't
I know,
say.
So I don't look like I'm copying you.
Charles Leclerc, why? Tell us why.
I just thought he had a great race. I felt really bad for him at the start. I don't think that was his fault. I think Ferrari could and should have pit stopped him again. And I think he deserved to win it, actually. I think he looked really fast, and I thought he did some great overtakes. And to get Perez there right at the bitter end showed there's a lot of fight in him.
Always has been. Damon?
Checo, because he came from dead last almost to get himself on the podium. So well done, Checo. Nearly had second, but still a good result.
Because I'm going to say Esteban Ocon. So why have
we
none of
say
us...
Max, obviously.
Well, yeah,
won,
but why?
But, you know,
why do we not say Max? Is it because he's won 18 times?
Yeah, because we're looking for something different. Yeah. And, of course, you know, he's done stupendously well. He's a brilliant driver, and he's maximised everything. No pun intended. He's maximised everything this season.
He was absolutely delighted to have won that.
Well, I'm going to go for Esteban Ocon. Phenomenal race from 16th on the grid to 4th. Very well done to him and to Alpine. Well, that pretty much concludes our review of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Guys, thank you very much for your time. Thank you, everyone at home, for listening. This show is nothing without you. And we will, of course, be back for our final F1 Nation of the season after the season-closing Abu Dhabi Grand Prix next Monday. But for now, F1 Nation is produced by Formula One
and Audio Boom Studios.